Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Living Astrology with host Janet Hickox, intuitive astrologer and human design consultant, and her co-host Jason Levanis, intuitive tarot card reader and teacher, as well as feng shui consultant. At Living Astrology Radio, we are committed to empowering people to reach for the stars. Now enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology. I'm Janet Hickox, and with me today is the Greek god, Jason Levanis. Hello, Jason.
Hello, my blue-eyed goddess. How is everything out there in Washington?
It is a beautiful day. In fact, I was just recognizing how fall-like it really looks out there, although they were for a heat spell, which doesn't thrill me, but whatever, right? Indian summer comes.
I didn't even realize that this weekend, Labor Day. I was like, oh shit. Oh my God. I just realized that. Seriously. That's how fast the summer went.
Yeah. Yeah, because doesn't it just seem like the other day it was Memorial Day? And that's the 4th of July. I mean, and here we are now. I mean, it has been a busy summer. There's been a lot going on. So, you know, it makes sense that time would have flown, especially in respect to some of the things that have happened on the world stage. And, you know, every day is an adventure right now, it seems like. So I think time flies when, you know, there's a lot packed into any given day. Jeez Louise. And here we are, kids going back to school. Some kids started in my area yesterday. The rest of them all seem to go back somewhere next week. And I bet it's the same on your coast. So it's like, get back to the business of being in business, right? Get back to the business of business. So today we have a sort of exciting show. I really have discovered some really interesting things that I want to share with everybody today. And it's always my most exciting thing to be able to share new and interesting information. So today we're going to set the topic at a few different places. One, I'm going to talk about the autumn astrology. I have drawn up the equinox chart, and from that we can ascertain what some of the energies might be for the coming 3 months. We're going to look at two of the biggest events that occur in the fall, and they're sort of bracketed, one at the beginning and one at the end. The first one being Jupiter's move into Scorpio in the first week of October, or I believe it is October 9th, and Saturn's move into Capricorn, which happens just as close to the end of fall as you can get, December 19th. So we have these two big things going on bracketing the entire season, so we're going to want to take a look at those things. And the first thing that I want to share with everybody tonight is the astrology of our friends, or not friends, Harvey and Katrina. Because as you know, Jason, this morning when we were doing our daily report, I don't know if I mentioned it on air when we were talking, or if I said it to you afterwards, but I went, isn't it interesting that the anniversary of Katrina happened the same sort of day that Hurricane Harvey was in the midst of hitting, and there's 12 years difference between 2005 right. when Katrina happened and 2017 where we are now. And so when I hear a number like 12, that is a cycle of Jupiter. So obviously I had to look into it and see what I could find. So I went online and of course, I got the charts for each one of these hurricanes because a hurricane is an event. You can draw up charts for people as well as charts for events, and you can see what were the things that were happening, right? The key transits, if you will, of the planets and the aspects that were happening at the time. So the first thing, of course, you have to know is that if Jupiter is in Libra now, then 12 years ago, Jupiter was also in Libra at the time of Katrina. So that's one thing that, you know, that was the key to me that this was happening. So you might remember earlier in the week, Jason, when I was looking, when I showed a picture of the chart right now, and I was showing everybody the picture of the kite aspect that's drawn in the chart. Do you remember that?
The diamond. Yes.
The diamond, or literally they call it a kite because it's a diamond. If you turn it one way, it looked like a pyramid. But the configuration itself is called a kite. Well, wouldn't you know it, 12 years ago, when we had Katrina, there was also a kite. And for those of you who don't normally watch our daily energetic reports, what I was saying is the kite is generally speaking an ease and flow of the energy of planets, at least five of them, that are anchoring the points of the kite. So if you can visualize a kite, you have the point, side of the crossbar. So if you think of the crossbar that supports the kite, and then the bottom point of the kite. So you have at least four planets that are anchoring this kite formation. And then implied in that kite is an opposition from the planet at the top point and the planet at the bottom point. So it creates, it creates a lot of magic. There's the power of three in here because there's also a grand trine. There are sextiles, which are 60 degree angles, which are also kind of magical angles. And so there's all kinds of, we could go into all that kind of detail, but I really don't want to do that. I just want to point out that there was a kite at the time of Katrina. There was a kite at the time of Harvey. And Jupiter formed the tip of the kite for both, the top tip, so the part that would be flying in the sky up at the top. And I found that to be quite interesting. So I kept looking and looking further. So in the chart for Hurricane Harvey, Jupiter and Moon were in a conjunction at that top point of the kite. And in Katrina, it was Jupiter and Venus at the point of the kite, the top point. The reason that's interesting is because Jupiter in and of itself does have a tendency to magnify things. It can take something really good and make it even better, and it can take something really bad and make it even worse. But when you combine it with another planet, it tends to have a magnification across the board. So whatever the energies are of that planet, it's going to magnify it. So when I looked at the crossbar energies now, Harvey had Mars in Leo on one side of the crossbar, Saturn in Sagittarius at the opposite crossbar. Katrina had Mercury in Leo on one side of the crossbar and Pluto in Sagittarius on the opposite side of the crossbar. So we have the energies of Leo and Sagittarius both playing, very powerful planets anchoring the crossbar. So when I think of the crossbar, it's the piece that is holding the structure of the kite together. Without the crossbar, you would just have a piece of fabric or plastic just hanging there. The crossbar actually adds the strength and the structure to the kite so that it will actually fly. So we have some very strong aspects together that create structure that's lasting and strong. And then we have the opposition point, which holds the very bottom of the kite. In both hurricanes, 12 years apart, mind you, the opposition planet was Earth, the goddess of discord and disruption.
What was the opposition planet? You, of course, bleeped out, and the most important part. What was it opposite
Eris.
To? Eris.
Eris. Right, the goddess that's created all kinds of discord for us this year. And she's been conjunct Uranus off and on over the last couple of years, and she is still not that far away from Uranus. So Uranus was actually kind of anchoring with Eris and adding to the energy of Harvey by anchoring that point. So, you know, and I can't make this shit up, right? I mean, this is not me making stuff up. It was already in the news that they were already drawing comparisons between the two hurricanes. All I did was look for the astrological signatures that made them similar. Now, let's look at the flooding aspects, because both of these hurricanes had some very definite flooding going on. In fact, in Katrina, Jupiter and Venus's conjunction up at the point happened with Moon in Cancer, a water sign. And the reason I looked at it that way is because Libra is ruled by the planet Venus. So I wanted to see, okay, what is going on with Venus? And I just was pulling the threads, right? Just pulling it around the chart. So what we see in then Harvey is that Venus was in Cancer. And so we had the Moon in Cancer for Katrina, and we've had now Venus in Cancer for Harvey. And so all total here, we have Jupiter, Venus, and the Moon as primary planets involved in the point of this kite, and Eris holding the bottom point of the kite for both hurricanes. And here's what I find even more interesting in that, is that in Katrina, we had the Moon in Cancer. Hold on, I'm going to pull our chart up so I can look at it again and make sure I say this correctly. So the Moon was in Cancer, and Cancer is a sign of nurturing and taking care of, right? It is very protective and security-oriented and forms the foundation for things. And the Moon was in its strength there because it is the planet that rules the sign Cancer. And in Katrina, there was all kinds of bad shit happening. I mean, literally, people not being fed. I mean, there was chaos, people drowning, and people being moved to shelters that were then flooded, and, you know, the Superdome escapades where all these people were in the Superdome and there was all this violence happening. I mean, it was a chaotic and disruptive time at best. This time, we have the planet Venus at 29 degrees of Cancer. And you guys remember, we've talked about this before. What does it mean to be at the 29th degree? It's a karmic degree. And it's the viewpoint of us looking backwards through the energy of that sign and seeing what the lessons are that we learned, what are the lessons that we still must learn. So we have Venus that was sitting at that 29th degree of Cancer. Did we learn the lessons that Katrina showed us, right? The things that happened in Katrina, did we actually learn anything from that? Here are some of the context, if you will, that I was drawing the comparisons between. Did, you know, in 2005 during Katrina, the question was already being presented then about global warming. Was global warming in some way at fault for creating more intense hurricanes? And hurricanes had more power to their punches. And here we have a president. I promised I wouldn't mention by name, Jason, but okay, we have a president who doesn't seem to think that global warming is important. Number one lesson we haven't learned. The second lesson that we perhaps should have learned was about evacuating people ahead of a hurricane. We knew in plenty of time about Katrina, and people either were not moved to evacuate or there were no evacuation orders given. And, you know, granted, hurricanes present some uncertainty as to where are they going to come ashore? Are they, you know, is the storm surge going to be as bad as they say it's going to be? But caution and prudence would always say, get the most number of people out of the way of these big, gigantic storms. So fast forward now to Harvey. Did we learn the lesson? I would say we probably did not. As in, there were people being told not to evacuate. There were people evacuated to centers that were then needing to be evacuated because the floodwaters were more deeper and more extensive than they originally thought. Another lesson that we possibly should have learned between Katrina and Harvey. And by the way, I'm not saying this is in judgment, but, you know, this is really about learning. You know, these are escalations of evolution here. So the question, should we be building homes in flood-prone areas? I think one of the most startling stories that came up out of Hurricane Harvey was about homes that were built in the reservoir area or in what was a lake bed. And I just have to question the prudence, the smarts, the genius, if you will, of doing something like that. Did we really do that? Not having learned the lessons of Katrina, what happens in low-lying areas, we built homes in an area that was like that. So in other words, we have a lot of vulnerabilities that were ignored, right? Vulnerabilities that were ignored, even though we have seen time and again, because we didn't only experience Katrina and then have Hurricane Harvey. I mean, we had Rita, we had Sandy, we had, you know, Andrew years before. And so it's not like we have known that something was happening here, right? We have had this information to us. So I guess what remains to be seen in the drawing of the parallels between these two hurricanes is how does the aid to the victims proceed, right, in Harvey versus Katrina? Because in Katrina, the aid was very slow in getting to the people who needed it most. There was literally a cluster. Cluster, Jason, if you were on the line, you would say it for me. Around
fuck. Where are we cluster fucking around? What are we around, doing? I was in the background.
Yeah, I saw you in the background, sweetie. But what I was talking about was, did we learn the lessons of Katrina with Harvey? And I was drawing some of the parallels, like global warming's effects, evacuation
right
ahead of a hurricane, whether we should even be building in these flood-prone areas, in these hurricane-prone areas. Did we ignore the vulnerabilities in the system, the ability to handle storm surge and runoff? And let's face it, this was a deluge in terms of how much rain was generated. And the last thing I said that we haven't seen yet was how the aid to people who are in need, it gets handled. Because in Katrina, it was a cluster, right? Their aid was not getting to the people that it was meant to get to. When it did, it was not enough, and there was just one problem after another with Hurricane Katrina.
I remember.
It was really sad. I mean, it was totally unbelievable, the things that, you know, in that respect, you know, getting the people that needed it the most, the help they needed, even things like drinking water, babies, formula, things like that. Here we have the potential now to at least learn one freaking lesson from Katrina, and that is, how do we help the people who have been hit by something major like this? Of course, that remains to be seen as time goes on here as to whether or not we're able to do that. But I tell you, I've already seen the bickering start up. The governor of the great state of New Jersey, Chris Christie, I'm sure you're familiar with who he is, and the governor, a senator from the state of Texas, Ted Cruz, have already been going at it because Ted Cruz refused to sign a bill that would have aided Sandy's victims, and Chris Christie called him on the carpet for it because he's now at the vanguard of the call to get aid to those people in Houston that need it. And you know, one end is saying, hey, there was too much pork built into the Sandy package. And the fact finders are going, there was not, you're lying, you're only more interested because this is your state that's gotten hit. And so some interesting bickering starting up already. Let's just hope it doesn't affect the amount of help that does happen. Both of these hurricanes happened, of course, while Congress was in recess. That slows things down some. Let's just hope and pray that at least that one lesson, if you will have been learned, and that is, how do we get help to the people that need it after a hurricane? So, interesting things, right? Those commonalities. Who knew? A kite? I mean, that's not even a very common configuration in a chart, much less to have it show up in the charts of two events spaced 12 years apart. So fascinating. All right, so the second part of our show today. Any questions, Jason? Anybody asking really good questions?
No, everything is making absolute sense. So you haven't lost me. Nothing is getting lost in my anus.
This is a good thing, because if anybody's going to get lost, it's you.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So what is the second part now? And by the way, your queue is pretty full, just so that you know. I know you wanted to get some readings today as well.
Mm-hmm. I see it. So let's go to part two, which somehow I labeled as part three. Who knows, right? I'm a Gemini, and Mercury is my planet. I need to relearn how to number things. But the second part that I want to get to today is about the astrology of autumn. And so, like the two hurricanes, I actually just drew a chart for the moment that the sun returns to 0 degrees Libra, which is the start of the autumn equinox. And by doing that, I can, sort of see what the themes are going to be that develops by where planets are placed. It's kind of the same thing that I use when I do a solar return for someone, right? I look at see what the themes are that are going to develop. Well, our friend the kite is still in play at the fall equinox. I mean, I don't even know what to say about this anymore, except that luckily this energy is pausing shortly. The beginning of the fall is punctuated by this grand trine in fire connected to the two sextiles that point up at Jupiter and the moon, by the way, Jupiter and the moon, just like in Harvey, Jupiter and moon were up at the point of the kite and for the fall equinox. Again, they are. And this time, the moon is actually at 1 degree of Scorpio, while Jupiter is at 26 degrees of Libra. So it's an out-of-sign conjunction. So now we have the energy of two different signs to merge. So it points to me thinking big wind event and a big water event. What do you bet on the 22nd of September we are either in the midst of another hurricane or some other big event has just occurred, and tapping into the last energy of that kite that makes it so easy for this energy to travel around, opposing again Uranus and Eris, which adds that element of and unpredictability to it. You know what was really interesting about Hurricane Harvey, and I didn't get to check this on Katrina, but Harvey actually emerged back out in the Gulf and reformed as a tropical storm and came back in. So we got a double hit. And Libra is a dual sign, right? The two signs scale that we need to bring in balance. It's a sign of duality. And of course, we still have Jupiter in that sign, so I wonder if we have another dual hit, two hurricanes at the same time, perhaps. I don't know, but
wow.
I would say that the
and
summer...
And what is the time
summer,
on September 25th?
22nd. September 22nd.
Okay.
That is
well,
that
would be something to look out for.
Yeah, absolutely. The first day of fall actually happens September 22nd at 1:02 p.m. Pacific time, so that makes it, 4:02 p.m. your time. That's the actual point of the equinox. However, these elements are building before that point. So we're still, looking at something big going on, most likely a hurricane tropical storm combination type thing as we get into September. So we have the fire trine still going on, thus the energy of fires. If you look at the west, at a map yesterday, this is very interesting too, because somehow it was really smoky here the other day, and I thought, gosh, is this like from the fires in Canada still, or are we looking at something else? And when you look at a map from the Departments of Natural Resources, DNR, it looks like entire left third of the country is on fire.
Huh.
It is the craziest thing I've ever seen. Right. I mean, we're used to wildfires. Yeah. On the West Coast, we get them every year. It's a part of natural process that trees, in fact, some trees
right.
even need the energy of fire to reproduce. But I thought it was pretty interesting to see how much fire is really going on in the face of this grand fire trine. That's a part of this fight that's both driving weather and fire this country. And, of course, all happening post the eclipse that was so powerful on the 21st of August. So to me, there's more of the same coming, right? There's probably still a pretty good chance that the autumn is going to be warmer than normal. I would say there's probably going to be a few more hurricanes, tropical storms, maybe more than what the U.S. has seen in a while, probably since 12 years ago. The autumn equinox happens within the window of a new moon. And that also bodes well for the possibility of something new to emerge in the fall that wasn't able to emerge in summer. And, you know, likely that's also benefiting us that Mercury won't be retrograde anymore, right? Mercury will have gone forward on September 5th. By September 22nd, Mercury is past the point at which it started retrograde, so its whole cycle is done. So the potential for starting something new is really high in that new moon window. And we, of course, will still have Jupiter in opposition to Uranus and Eris, and that means that element of unpredictability out there. Being surprised, don't be surprised if we have big events occurring in our outer world. So let's stop right here before I go into some of the other, the two key pieces of the autumn equinox, and let's do a reading for a couple people, okay? Let's bring in Elizabeth. She was the first caller that I took today. So Elizabeth, are you on the line with me?
Yes, I'm
Hello,
here.
Elizabeth. Hi there. How are you today?
Okay, I'm doing okay.
Tell me how I can help you. Or what is your question
yes.
today?
My question is, I was going for my master's for psychology to be a therapist, but I couldn't continue at that school or with the master's. So now I am rethinking about continuing, but there, mental health counseling with a certificate in addictions, or a master's in applied behavioral analysis that's dealing with autism, Asperger's, those that have a little bit of learning disabilities and how to work with them, setting up programs and stuff.
So, okay, let me get this straight. You want to know whether you should stay going to school or not. Is that right?
Well, staying with school, but is it still in the direction of the mental health counseling or going with the applied behavioral analysis?
Really good question. So here's my question to you. What feels best to you? If you take your head out of the game, get your head out and not the what I should do or what other people think I should do, what do you want to do? Good question, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So I want you to think about that for a minute while I tell you what I'm looking at here in your chart. At the moment, the sun is like 2 degrees, 3 degrees from crossing over the midheaven into the 10th house of career in your chart, where you have, by birth, no lie, Moon, Venus, Pluto, Uranus, Ceres, the part of fortune, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bodies all in one house of your astrology chart, which puts a lot of focus on what it is you're going to do in the world. And what to do in the world, almost all of those planets, not all, but almost all of them are in the sign of Virgo. So it does speak to the healing aspect of whatever it is that you're doing, right? How can I help and share my gifts in a helpful way as opposed to learning things that, you know, really aren't very helpful. So that's one thing. Now, the other thing is just as we are speaking, the planet Mercury has backtracked over your natal Jupiter, which is at 1 degree of Virgo, and Mars is headed in that direction. So over this particular weekend, in fact, we have a Mercury-Mars conjunction very near your natal Jupiter. So that says here, what is the world need most now? if I could say the, I'm trying to think of a word that really wraps this up, and there's really not one word, but it makes me think about what is the most effective use of your energy for the most number of people out there in the world? What's the biggest need right now? Right? Is it autism? Because it seems to me that's a word that's around, and there's a lot of people out there with that. And Asperger's syndrome, which I think goes along with type of autism, right? It's a form of autism. So it would seem like education that preps you for that eventual, working with that energy, working with those kinds of people, kids included, is huge, right? And is a source of growth and expansion for you. But if it's not what you love, do not do it. Right? Do not do that. So that's why it's so important for you to really get some clarity around what do you love to do. And so I would take time. Do it this weekend. Take some time and ask yourself the question, what would really make me feel good when I get up in the morning to do?
Okay.
Right? Is it going to be me getting up and going to work with kids who have autism, or is it going to be following the more general route of mental health? It's up to you. Okay?
Okay, got it.
And there's another reason why I'm bringing that up, that what you desire piece. Because you, like I swear, 90% of the people I've talked to recently, Jupiter moving through their 11th house, which is the house of dreams, aspirations, or your goals, right? And so Jupiter being a planet based on growth is really rising, making us rise to the task of claiming the what. So what do we want? Jason can tell you all about this because he and I had a long discussion about this yesterday. It is the one thing that's so difficult for us to encapsulate. But as soon as we do encapsulate, not encapsulate, but as soon as we can get to the grist of what it is we desire, the faster we can manifest what it is we want and then feel like we're on the right path.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And even though we haven't discussed this yet in the scope of the radio show, very soon after Jupiter moves into Scorpio, your sun is going to be hit by Jupiter. And so I'm looking at, you know, the first couple of weeks, maybe third week of October, this occurring for you, where a new round of growth as it relates to Jupiter and the sun begins. And that's huge. Time right now for you, Elizabeth, to really get clarity about what you want. Do not do anything but that right now. Okay?
Okay. Yes, I understand.
All right. Perfect. You're very welcome. Can I say one more thing to you before I put you back in the queue? Remembering that I said Jupiter is across from Uranus right now, and Uranus is sitting on top of your destiny. So something big is about to happen. Make it important. Right. When I say make it important, I mean make it the correct decision for you. And maybe a human design chart, you might be helpful. If you've never been to my website, go to www.living-astrology.com. Request your free human design chart because that will tell you how best to make decisions for you. Okay?
Okay, I will. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome and good luck. I think big things are coming. Elizabeth, I'm going to put you back into the queue. And let's see, I think I'm going to take one more person here before I go on to talk about what Jupiter and Saturn have in store for us this particular equinox. So I have, it looks like Joey on the phone with me. Hello, Joey. How are you doing? Hello, hello. Is there anybody here? Hello.
That's strange. He was there just a moment ago.
And it still shows. Maybe his phone's muted. Joey, if your phone's muted, unmute yourself.
Interesting.
Okay. Well,
All right.
It's okay.
Well, we
I will
Jackie
come back to
as well.
Him. So let's bring in Jackie. Jackie or Jakey?
Jackie.
Sorry. I spelled it funny. Listen to me, right? Jackie.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I used to spell it.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay.
We got a problem, so though, Janet. I don't know how to deal with people without any time of birth.
Oh, poor Joey just fell off. Jackie, let's talk a little bit about this. So you have a question mark on time of birth, but is there any kind of anecdotal evidence about time of day you were born? I mean, is there something, you know, someone saying to you, oh yeah, you know, when the traffic was the worst during the day, or you made me miss breakfast, that kind of thing? Is there anything like that that can help us pinpoint the time?
No.
Nothing like that at all. So nobody to even say, let me ask you this. Are you a morning person, an afternoon person, an evening person, or a late night person?
I'm a late night person.
Left to your own devices.
Yeah, I'm a late night person.
All right. So I'm going to add you in here because I didn't have a chance to do that because I was talking too much. Jackie is a female, of course, and she was born January 5th. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And let's see, I'm going to put an arbitrary time of 2 a.m. And you were born in England, London.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take a look. And in the meantime, while I'm bringing up your chart, what can I help you with today, or what seems to be your question?
I mean, I want to move forward with my career and with some plans that I have for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to see what's showing up in, you know, my personal endeavor.
So, Jackie, what are you doing right now with your life? What kind of work do you do?
I'm a teacher.
Elementary, high school, middle school, college?
High school.
I missed that, honey. What did you say?
High school.
High school, okay. And is that something you really like? Or is that something that is open to discussion for you? It is paying the bill. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I see that's really interesting in your chart. In a matter of days, the sun is going to conjunct your Pluto, Uranus conjunction, your natal Pluto, Uranus conjunction in the area of your 11th house of desires. So remember, in the lady I was talking to before you, I told her that Jupiter was going through the house of dreams and wishes and goals and aspirations. Well, for you, it's the sun that is about to do that. And every year when the sun does that, it empowers us to really clear on what it is we want to manifest for ourselves in the upcoming time period. We're looking at the upcoming fall equinox. And literally beginning any day here for you. So it can be some surprises in here. This can be an energy where you're holding on tightly and afraid to let go because there's an unknown quotient here. But I would really spend some time, like the lady before you, in getting some clarity around what you really want to do. Your destiny, by the way, in the chart is in Gemini. And so that often tells me that that is a person who's here to share information to, and that can run the gamut from someone who is a teacher to someone who is a writer to someone who is a perpetual student to someone who is working in marketing and sales and so forth. So you have a lot of choices on how to fulfill your destiny, but it seems like your destiny as a teacher might be up because you might have done it to solve a problem rather than because it's something that you really love to do. Does that make sense?
Well, I love to do it. It's just where I'm doing it at. But initially when I did start teaching, it was to solve a problem. I couldn't find a job in business. And I really wasn't looking to be an entrepreneur at that time. I was looking more so to go into the corporate field, you know,
mm-hmm.
or law.
Mm-hmm.
But I am a perpetual student. Like I'm to the point now where I'm trying to get rid of stuff that I've been trying to learn. I mean, I've always liked to learn.
Yeah, learning is really, you know, fundamental. Accent.
Really,
fun
really.
Part.
Oh my God.
I know. I did say that. I'm sorry, Jason. Hey, Jason. Since I have you on the line, one, Joey has just texted me and told me that he's back in the queue. So we'll be bringing him back
in
shortly.
You.
Awesome.
I already have it in the queue for you.
Thank you. But I'm wondering, since hopefully you have your card deck there, maybe you could pull a card to help Jackie along here a bit.
I wasn't listening, so I'm going to go on a blind read, okay? So I'm going to pull three quick cards for her. In the immediate past, I have worry, and I have sadness and worry and negativity. Right now in the present, I have somebody, again, the wheel comes up. As you know, Janet, there's a sphinx on top deciding what kind of shit have I done in the past. Am I going to do the same shit I've done in the past and expect a different result? Jesus Christ, if I could take a step back right now and say to myself, I want to get X, Y, and Z. I don't care whether it's with a man, a woman, it's with a project, but I've been doing it the same old way. I've got to change my methodology. But first, I have to actually acknowledge my methodology by taking a step back and being observant. I don't know what the situation is. I don't care what the situation is, to be honest with you, because the six, the lovers, comes up as a double entendre right after the wheel. It's an interesting time whenever I get the wheel and then I get the lovers. Why? The lovers, as you know, Janet, from the shows we've done, is called the parting of the ways and or making the right decision for you. And or it talks about love. Which love are you going to go with in life? However, having the lovers in this position, coming off the heels of worry, and now from the worry, stopping and taking stock, and then going forward, I don't know. Jackie, I would love to be you, because whatever's coming up for you in the next 6 weeks or so is going to be fantastic. I don't know whether it's you're looking for a job. I don't know whether you're looking for a new dude. Whatever it might be, I have the lover's card. So whatever she was asking about, it's all systems ahead, but she's got to get out of the old routines and the old bullshit.
Yeah. You know, and that's the case here as well that I see, Jackie, is what is the fear here? What are you know, what's holding you back from making a key change like that? And you know, there could be many things, right? In my estimation, in the next 3 weeks, some energy is going to shift for you as Jupiter, which represents growth in your chart, moves out of the 12th house where it's been hidden and it's been working on the inner realm, to the first house where it becomes more accessible for you. So, you know, I would say the same thing. Work on what it is that you really desire. I'm not sure, you know, if you were to teach somewhere else, would that be something that would require you moving?
Not necessarily, but I do want to move. I wanted to move first and settle down a bit and then look elsewhere. I don't necessarily like my district. There's a lot of bullshit going on here, and I've had enough.
Yeah.
But, I could do it. It's just I don't feel good about it.
Yeah. Honestly, as far as a move, I don't see that coming until later as we move into 2018, perhaps around the spring. And that puts you already in the midst of school year, and you probably would have to stay until the end of that school year. Potential is coming for a change in that arena. And the thing that's going to drive that is, what do you want? Again, we're back to that. So many people, Jason, with this emphasis in this 10th, 11th, and 12th house, which is all about getting in alignment with your own authority, doing what's correct for you or right for you, and what's based on your vision. What do I envision for myself? So
I get that.
You can keep that.
And you know, that's very difficult thing for most mothers, I would say, or working wives. Sometimes it's very difficult to look for what you want for you when you have responsibility. I get that question. I understand what you're saying, like, to get to that point, because sometimes what you want for you may not sync well with what you need for your family or the people around you. And I do take family there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've suffered because of the love of my family.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
And, you know, that is really interesting, because when you have a destiny in Gemini, like I was alluding to, and he brought up the lover's card, which has a Gemini component to it, is there is always this energy of duality. And the duality here is between you and is between family and you, like choices you make that are truly about your family and having to sacrifice what you want in order to make things okay for them, and vice versa. So how do we bridge that, what we call conundrums, a conundrum that can be a part of your journey in discovering where you go from here. But I would say, without really looking at your human design chart, I would say that you most likely have to default to what feels right to you. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does make sense.
All right. And let me say what feels good to you as well, because right can sometimes take you to a moral standpoint where, morally, is it right for me to do what's right for my family or for myself? My viewpoint on that is that you make yourself happy first, and it spills out to your family, much like the stewardess that says, put your own face mask on if the oxygen masks drop, because if you can't breathe, you can't help anybody else. All right?
Yes. I've been hearing that so much. It's unbelievable. Dad,
validation, sweetheart. Validation. Oh, gosh. Well, if you need help with that, I do help coach people along their life paths. You can certainly look up my website, living-astrology.com, and see if there's something there that I can do that might help you, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're most welcome, sweetie. I'm going to put you back into the queue. I'm going to bring in Joey. Holy cow, I only have 13 minutes left. Joey, you would have thought I would have brought your chart up while I was busy, and I did not. Are you there with me now?
Okay. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can hear you. So hold on here while I quickly...
Right. While you're doing the chart situation, is there anything that we need to touch on for next week? I guess we don't, right? We're good. We've got our daily things going on. Let me ask you, Joey, did you call for one particular reason while she's getting your chart up ready?
Sure. Basically, my whole thing is I have all these things kind of getting have a line to do and as far as business is concerned, but some things, take up a priority. And I'm just wondering basically if I feel like I'm doing the right thing. I need to get a tenant. But with this Mercury retrograde, I think it's kind of like being held back a little bit until Mercury straightens out. If he's already, I can feel it.
Yes,
I can tell.
So?
Oh, I think so. I'm saying I keep hearing in my third eye, the 5th of September, it's being delayed. The application is already put in for the background check. I know he comes through clear. And then I just want to move on with my career. That's really what my question was. I like usually to do normally speak in public and in the whole psychic prophetic thing, more like life coaching, but I like to do it in a social setting, not exactly always at home or from the office.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what I, as when everybody else doesn't know what they want to do, I know what I want to do, but I'm like, okay, I need to get this first so I can get this going.
Yeah. You may have to start doing these things concurrently. The planet Neptune is in your 10th house, and of course that tends to make things a little confusing, but it is the planet that rules psychic ability. And Neptune in the moment is in retrograde, which makes you even more psychic and more aware. And that is the way things will be until November. It does look like you are in for a Jupiter-Sun conjunction shortly, which should speed things ahead for you. In fact, that's usually a time, that's usually a real hallmark time in anybody's chart, because a Jupiter could only conjunct your Sun once every 12 years, right? That's just the way, because of the nature of what it does. So this will be the first time in 12 years that you're having this kind of conjunction, and it sets you up for a new 12-year path of growth and some really good things. So you have a lot of reason to be optimistic, and you have a lot of hope and expectation type thing. I think it will be right around early October, late September, when you really start to see the green light the I'm thinking of what is that sign? The yield sign comes down and the growth sign, not the the white. Anyway,
thank God
all
you're confirming what I. Yeah, thank God, because even the confusion is there. But I've worked them before, knowing that. I've worked with the actual Neptune and learned the mystical before I moved on. Before I move on, every now and then he takes me with his old Mr. Triton himself, takes me underground and teaches me very, very esoteric things, and then I move on, and then I come up with all these unusual, brand new things. So that makes total sense.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be an element added to what you do psychically, and I think it has to do with healing. Helping people heal their wounds, because what's happened for you is that Neptune is sitting on top of the of your natal Chiron. So there's a real sense here of people that are disenfranchised from source or from their own intuition or from their own instinct. And perhaps that element is being injected into what you do from here on as well. So I would look
Amen
to that
to
as
you.
Being something
yeah.
to add in.
Amen to you. Yes, what I like to do is I like to empower my clients. I like to not just give them the message. I like to teach them how they pick up their own messages so that they can feel more, like, in other words, they don't need me every day. Well, they need me in a way because I have more years of experience, but once they open themselves, they can start trusting themselves more. That's part of what I like to do. I like to empower people. Show them their
very good,
sense.
Very good.
Is that along with what you're explaining to me?
That's exactly what I'm explaining to you and exactly what I see here. It's being triggered right now. So the more that you can work with that and inject healing into, you know, first of all, your Chiron is in Pisces. So the wound for you was around surrender, was around, what's that saying, let go and let God, right? Allowing and trusting in a benevolent universe. And so having come through the healing yourself, because you're beyond your Chiron return, now Neptune is helping you sort of get some clarity or confusion around how to help people who have been like you in the past, in, you know, with problems around trusting in the universe or healing that connection between spirit and self, or spirit and the physical world. So becoming one, becoming unified, and trust and surrender, big themes for you to help others with that is.
Okay? That totally, completely makes a whole 160% or more.
Good.
What I've been feeling, it kind of, because I feel like this answer is okay, I want to get out there already, but this Mercury is kind of holding me back. Once I get that, those funds starting to roll from a new tenant, I can move, I can be out there. And I can seep in that healing without even having to use anything esoteric. So, I can help the average person. And, yes, I've been through a lot of surrender and healing, and I like to use stuff that I have used on me, and I've seen it work. So I know it's concrete.
There we go. But, so definitely get moving with that. And, sometimes you can't push the river. And so just – it's coming.
I can't.
That's all I can say. It's coming.
I just gotta be patient right now. And I just gotta be patient right now. Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, my friend. Thank you for calling back. And I'm sorry you got disconnected or whatever happened there, but I'm glad you got to connect. So I'm gonna put you back into
it's
the
okay.
queue. All right, bye, Joey. And let's see, we have only 6 minutes left, which I can't even fathom. And I really have to, and I may do another show on this. I feel like Jason now, you know, how you always seem to get to the end of your show and go, well, I guess there's another episode of this card.
That's kind of part of letting go and letting God. You know, you saw me in the middle of the other show. I'm like, oh, I'm Jen, and I'm only going to have one show's worth. And I'm like, oh, yeah, right, sure.
Yeah,
so.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, interesting, because next week we have a guest coming on. This will be really interesting. Next week is our inaugural show being broadcast, our radio show being broadcast live on Facebook. It'll be broadcast at 10 a.m. Pacific time, 11:21 p.m. East Coast time, where we will be interviewing the authors Clayton John Anger around the book about the ego code. Interesting book, filled with wonderful information and exercises to help people understand where the ego is getting in the way and stopping them, tripping them up, as it were, from moving forward. So Living Astrology Radio will broadcast live via video on Facebook Live next Thursday at 10 a.m. The broadcast will also then be turned into an audio and be broadcast at 4 p.m., the usual time. So if you can't join us live on air video-wise, you will still be able to listen to the show on Blog Talk Radio later in the afternoon. We just won't be able to take live callers that week. So this is something new we're trying, and I'm kind of excited about it. We're going to test this out and see how well it works. In the meantime, I think that means the week after that, we may go to talking about Jupiter and Saturn's moves this season into Scorpio for Jupiter and Capricorn for Saturn. And, you know, there was really interesting things that I discovered because, you know, one of the things I like to do, Gemini and information, is I like to Google when I'm talking about a planet like Jupiter 12 years ago, I Googled what were the top newsmakers for 2005, because that's going to give me a clue as to how it played out in the grand scheme of things. And there were some fascinating things that are happening now that are sort of like echoes of what happened 12 years ago. So I really want to be able to share that. And I was just beginning the process of looking up that same information for Saturn Capricorn, because the last time it was in Capricorn was 1988 through 1990. So we had, I'll have a couple of years that I've got to sift through, see what some of the big newsmakers were then. But I will bring that to you in a couple of weeks. And okay. Jason, in the meantime, we're still planning on doing our daily energy report. Not sure yet of what time, we will make sure everybody is aware of that. Tune in to Jason's shows on Wednesdays. Titillating Tarot with Jason Levanis is on at 7 p.m. East Coast time, 4 p.m. Pacific. And next week, I'm guessing we're going back into the tower. We're going to pick up where we left off there, right?
We is going to the tower, the last great hurrah of difficulty.
I hesitate to ask, last degree of difficulty before what? We fall off the tower?
Well, in the main, do we fall off the universe? No, it's the third cycle of the major arcana, so we're in the third cycle. And so every cycle, of course, has its less than fun, challenging, life-providing, learning, all the crap that's hard to get through, but you need to do it.
Well, that's kind of that's the tower. It's saying to you, time to test your mettle, time to see what you're made of. Talk a lot of talk. Talk a lot of metaphysical talk. You know, you've heard it. You've seen it. People that talk, all that bullshit of everything is, and then
Mac talking.
And then there's spirituality. Actually has to come into play, whether it's through a huge natural disaster, whether it's through things crumbling down around him, whether it's surviving a riot, a Holocaust. And so it's one thing to talk and be, all full of light, and then, there's the Shirley MacLaine, then I go home for Thanksgiving. So life is life.
Yeah. I'm going to bring a caller in the queue, Cassildra. I'm going to just check in with Cassildra really quickly. Hi there, girlfriend. How are you?
Hi, Janet. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. We did a reading for you last week. Did you have a question or something to share with us about what's going on in your life since last time?
No, I didn't get nothing last week. This had been a while ago, but I was just interested in from the Jupiter and Scorpio, because I know the birthday is coming up. I am a Scorpio, so really,
Yes. For all of you out there who are my Scorpios, this is your year, right? Jupiter moving through your sign brings you awesome things. You probably need a solar return reading, so you should check out my website for a birthday reading and treat yourself to finding out what's coming up for you this coming year, especially with some big planets that are focused on your sign. So anyway, it was good chatting with you. I'm sorry I didn't get to you for a mini reading here. We have about 30 seconds left before the end of the show. So I just want to thank everybody for joining us today and for enjoying astrology to the point that you are willing to call in and listen to these many shows. And everybody, take care. Have a wonderful 3-day weekend. Enjoy life. And much love to everybody. Thank you again, Jason.
Love you.
I love you.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye, everyone. Thank you for joining me today on Living Astrology. Living Astrology is part of the Empower You Media Network. You can find out more by going to www.living-astrology.com or by going to www.empoweryoumedia.com. If you would like to find out when our shows are airing, you can follow us at Blog Talk Radio under Living Astrology. Please consider liking us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is Living Astrology and also Empower You Media. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye for now. Have a stellar week.